On this final Sunday of Advent, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, where we will find a familiar scene that flows right out of the song we just sang in relation to the little town of Bethlehem. We sang, "O little town and O holy child and O come to us." Come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. And then we have that closing line that mentions Emmanuel, which is going to spill over to the closing song, which is, O come, Emmanuel. If you want to turn there already, not that the sermon is that short, but we'll be looking at the lyrics of that song. So both Matthew 1 and hymn number 293. Scripture and song, themes of Advent, titled today, O Advent Theme. You may be aware that there was a time before Jesus took on flesh, when the Word had not taken on flesh yet, and during that time of waiting, there was great anticipation and yearning and longing, and God's people for so long had longed to see the day when the Deliverer who was promised would come to the covenant people of God. So we might ask, oh, that he would come, or exclaim it that way, oh, that he would set us free. And here in this song, O come Emmanuel, we'll hear some reflection on that. And before we do, we will hear inspired lyrics, words of old and new that are wrapped up in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's pray together. Father, your word is faithful because you are faithful. And you tell us that you are with us in Christ, and that he saves his people from their sins. Lord, that is good news. That is a glad tiding of great joy. And as we reflect on these truths again today, we pray by your Spirit that you would stir within us and even have spill out of us the kind of response that springs forth in grateful praise. We ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, I forgot. Oh, that's right. Oh. You ever say, oh? Oh, he's like, oh my goodness, oh my lands, whatever that means. Oh my stars. We say, oh boy, or if you're related, you say, oh brother. Or if you're a silly old bear, you say, oh, bother. Say, oh, good. Oh, come on. Oh, joy. And if you're a popular singer, you can just string together a lot of O's. Oh, 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 oh. And in the particular setting, when we use the word, the letter, O, we're communicating something that's probably deep within our belly somewhere. Maybe our brain, too. It just comes out of us. We exclaim, we express, we delight, we long, we say so. We say things like, oh, please, or oh, joy, or oh, yeah. Looking in the Psalter, I won't ask you to do this now, but I did this for you. There are at least 90 songs in our Psalter that start with O. Why do you think that might be? Great yearning expressed in song. We just sang, O little town of Bethlehem. We're about to sing, O come, Emmanuel. So many songs that express, even in the same breath, joy and deep longing. And in the setting of this particular Christmas song and celebration, this Advent season that we're looking at today, we're going to look at this Advent song. We want to examine it and we'll sing it together. The O's of Advent. So many O's. So many words put in your mouth to express what is in your heart. That's the closing song. O come, O come. We'll look at some old O's. Many of the O's will be coming from the Old Testament. They're that old. And some that are not as old, but there's an old Latin antiphon that finds expression in our song today. Antiphon is one of the technical terms. Some of you like this kind of thing, others do not, and it's just where we are today. I'll be using some technical terms, and that's why I printed some of them for you in the bulletin if you wanted to have. It's not a cheat sheet. It's a legitimate sanction sheet for you to look at. It's in the bulletin. It comes under the title, O Advent Theme, which is a bit of a echo and an homage to O Christmas Tree, but that song isn't very deep. The Tannenbaum is just... This is a deep, old song that's celebrating Advent themes with O's expressed in terms of longing. And you see an outline there as well. It's a pretty straightforward outline. A little forced, but you'll get the idea. The O's of Advent. We're going to offer the origin of this song along with an oration, which means a message, and what we'll call an ornament. That'll be a brief application of the themes we're looking at here. O Advent themes from O Come, Emmanuel. We do begin with the origin. This is the backstory, if you will. We'll ask some questions like, what are the O's? And are they in the Bible? And what exactly are they exclaiming? There's no question that the passage we read from moments ago is revealing God as Emmanuel. He is with us. That was the promise, and that is the reality to this day. The Christ came. He saves his people from their sins, as is summarized in the text. So what's with all the O's? Why do we keep singing, O come, Emmanuel? That's part of the reason we're looking at this. But before the song ended up, in just about every hymnal there is, there was a time, believe it or not, when things like four-part harmony didn't exist. Now, it's hard to believe. Pianos didn't even exist. I was a little startled a few years ago when it revealed that the piano is not that old as an instrument. It's a few hundred years old, what, the 1700s or something like that? What? And there weren't even song books. There weren't screens that come out of this. There was no Jumbotron in 4K that gave you lyrics. There was something else. There was something called chant. Chant. That's what ruled the day. And the origins of chant, they go way back. And depending on how far back you want to go, the dates may vary. There's Gregorian chant. Have you heard of that? Gregory the Great made that a bit of a standard. What, in the 600s? That's kind of a long time ago. Purposes for the song today, we're looking at the notations. They're in your Psalter if you're looking at that on hymn number 293, I'll direct your attention to the bottom of the page there. Maybe you do this often with your songs. Earlier we heard a tune that Bach arranged. We sang that. And here, there's something in the note that's telling us that this is plain song, 13th century. See that? And then also at the bottom, you see it's said to be translated by John Mason Neal in 1851 from a Latin hymn. And that source is from 1710, an antiphon of some sort, whatever that means, we'll get to that, dating to the 12th century AD. So, like the 1100s, that was a while ago. So it's an old song, it's not a contemporary song. Usually contemporary songs you might define as something that came up during my lifetime or yours. This one's older than that. But even before this version of the song that we sing, there was another plain song, another medieval chant that dates back perhaps to the 9th century, maybe a bit earlier. This would be monophonic, this would be unison, unaccompanied, and chant. And sometimes we hear chants today and we're a little amused by that. Who would ever get into that? The chants. That's what plain song is. It's a song used for worship here. And in this particular case, there's a series of 7 short verses that were sung at Vespers. You know what Vespers are? It's like an evening song, evening gathering of, say, worship. And it would be at the close of the psalm, or if it was during Advent, it would be after Magnificat. We heard Mary's song earlier in the choir anthem. And this song would typically be sung in the 7 days prior to Christmas Eve, which is where we find ourselves right now. So we're looking at this song this way now. The origins of the song. Originally, the song was a chant in Latin, probably used as an antiphon. I'll explain that more in just a moment if you don't know what that is. But this is the O's with antiphon in Advent. 7 opening lines are featured here. They begin with the letter O. And again, I've listed them in your bulletin. You got the first 2 words of each line, and each is translated there, sort of. And they're expressing, they're saying out loud, they're exclaiming what hopefully is in your heart already. We see, O wisdom, O Lord of might, or Adonai, O rod, or root, or branch of Jesse, O clavis, key of David, O day spring, or east, because it's the Orient. This is where the sun would come up. The morning light appears there in the Orient. And number 6, O Rex, you may know that's king. And then lastly, in the antiphons, we have, O God with us, O Emmanuel. That's the longing for the coming one. These repeated O's of the Advent song set before you. And it's part of the origin of the song. And the practice, as we pointed out, goes way back into a time of worship practices that might seem odd, or maybe for some Reformed people, they think, well, that's about right. This kind of woodenness. But even the medieval church, it's over 1,000 years ago, could have found themselves wrapped up in this lyric. Now, at some point, evidently the 13th century is noted here, someone rearranged things a bit. Specifically, we have 7 stanzas. They got turned into 5. We have 5 in front of us here. Stanzas 1 and 6 got thrown out for some reason. I didn't get that far in the studies. If I know, you know, why wisdom and the king get thrown out. But the order got changed also. You notice that the last stanza, O Emmanuel, that got moved to the front. So that's where we get our title, O Come Emmanuel. And then later on, a refrain was added that formed this effectively and eventually made a hymn with notes that we have to this day. And we'll sing it on this day. So that's there's part of the history, the origin story that surrounds the song, if you like that kind of thing. The original version, the medieval version, the modern version of the O's. Not modern. And we step into it. An original chant. That's what's set in front of us today. And if you're thinking, well, that's a lot to process for a hymn or a plain song, don't worry about it. We're not going to offer a test. It's a background. It's an origin for an old song, a beloved song. And I hope you catch a glimpse of why this song is rather not just familiar, but beloved by God's people today. We have it in our liturgy now. We have it in a songbook exclaiming something that goes back even further than this origin of the song. The Middle Ages even, we have another deeper origin, which is going to lead us to a second point, and that is the oration, the actual content, the message, the speech that is in this public declaration. That's what oration is. I'm sort of orating right now. I'm telling you some truths from a text. Matthew leads the way with the gospel truth, and The saints of old come up with old orations that reflect this, communicating the picture of the Christ, his coming at Christmas, his birth, showing you who he is, and the fact that he saves his people from their sins. Remember that part? I like that part. So the titles that we have here, they do come from Scripture, if you were wondering. So let's look at the oration in terms of the O's offered here. We have the medieval setting, the titles, the antiphons. Again, a fancy word, O antiphon. Now, antiphons, they're little short statements that declare something. They're sung at a particular, offered at a particular occasion. The occasion here is Advent and in worship. And typically, antiphon would be back and forth. Remember in high school, choir, we learned what antiphon was. We had to perform antiphon, where you're going back and forth. There might be two separate choirs singing at each other. Could be the congregation and the choir going back and forth. Bold proclamations about the coming king. So here's the Savior. He's greeted with Old Testament titles and then followed by some sort of prayer that relates to the advent of his coming. So we have, O come, and do what? Ransom. This is like a prayer. Rescue, bring comfort, etc. So each of the O's is expressing, or as we say here, it's offering this deep yearning. It's putting words in your mouth because they're already in your heart, and we sing them together in this antiphon, singing it to the Savior. Oh, that the Savior would come and get here and accomplish the work of saving us from our sins. And so here are the Old Testament titles. We'll run through these mostly in this order. Stanza 1, see the cry of the heart is, O Emmanuel, right? So come and ransom your captive. That's the picture that sets the tone. People in captivity, they're slaves, slaves to sin. In historical terms, they were actually captives, right? They got carted away, people of God, before the Christ showed up on the scene. And they're in lonely exile until what? The Son of God appears. Ah, the Emmanuel. He appears, he dwells with his people. That's what we need. And then implicit in this use of the title Emmanuel, again, Jesus is God in the flesh. He's actually dwelling here on earth with man. Very powerful picture. It's a prophesied picture. And again, the reference is to Isaiah chapter 7 and quoted and explained a bit in Matthew 1 that we read moments ago. The virgin did conceive, gave birth to a child whose name would be Jesus, and fulfilling the reality, God is with us. Is with us. The Savior comes. But from the viewpoint of the Old Testament saint, which is what this song is expressing in these stanzas, from where they stood, from how they looked at things with their viewpoint, the coming was not yet. The promise was made, but it hasn't been filled up, which brings about a longing. When will the, now, especially if you're a captive in lonely exile in your sin. Oh, come, Emmanuel. It's a prayer. And it results in this cry, this oh. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Oh, come, root. Or as translated in stanza 3, we'll skip to that one. Rod of Jesse, branch, sometimes translated. Some of the, I was a little surprised looking at different versions. Of, like even the Blue Psalter had different stanzas, different order, different. But they were all using these O's. In terms of these Old Testament titles, branch of Jesse's stem, rod of Jesse. That's the expression. It comes from the great prophecy of Messiah found in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Then a shoot will come up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. And then later on, then it will come about in that day that nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. Ah, the picture of glory. Not just ah, but oh, glory. Yeah, that's what we want. In this case, lovely is the branch. Oh, Advent theme. Oh, Advent theme. How lovely is this branch of Jesse. Jesse is the father of King David. from whom the greater King would come. I hope I'm telling you something you already know. In some ways, that's a challenge of singing these old, old songs. You think, I know this one. And here we are taking a deliberate slowdown to reflect and remember these songs that get played even on radio stations and hummed by people who have no idea what oh and what longing is wrapped up in this old song. Here in particular, the greater King, the anointing of God's Spirit, would come to this branch, and his kingdom would have no end. And part of the thinking here in this stanza may be reflecting on, boy, if the boy David could rescue a lamb from the lion's mouth, then what would his greater son be able to do? Would he be able to save us from captivity? And as we say here, see stanza 3, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. Whoa, save us from hell. See that? Give us victory even over the grave. Oh, whoa. Does the coming of the Christ address all of that? It's compressed into one stanza here of O come Emmanuel, O come rod of Jesse. And, O come, we'll look at stanza 4, bright morning star, stanza 4, translated here, O come day spring, again, which is an old English word for daybreak, the orient. Here comes the sun. The day spring bright from on high. How lovely. And in this antiphon, this back and forth, the O's leading the way, this particular stanza is based on two Bible passages. One, it's in Malachi 4, is where the prophet speaks of, this is a quote, Son of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. That's striking. And then later in the New Testament song of Zechariah, hear this echo there, there's a priest declaring, among other things, this, quote, The day spring from on high shall visit us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. We say we're longing for light because we're in darkness. Maybe we just take this for granted. We don't really have this kind of expectation welling up within us at Advent because it's just so familiar. The expressions of longing, oh come, day spring, cheer us. We already got the holiday cheer. Disperse gloomy clouds. Yeah, there's inversion, but death's dark shadows put to flight. Oh, come, oh, come. That's what the children cry out. Come, Emmanuel, come, rod, come, day spring, come, key. Stanza 5, which is also one of the ancient O's of the Advent. Look with me there. Stanza 5. Oh, come, thou key of David. Have you ever thought about that? What's going on there? What are you singing there? There's a lot to process. Like that first one, we've had two hefty Advent songs, two songs that are like, whoa, that's just a lot to grind through the gears on a Sunday morning. So much truth. And here, well, what do keys do? Can you think of that when you're singing, oh, the key? What is the key? Well, keys, they lock and they unlock. You know that. That's not the hard part. But here, what is the key doing? This coming one of Advent is pictured as not simply having a key, that's nice, but as being the key. The key for what? Well, simply put, the key for heaven. Open wide our heavenly home and then make safe the way that leads on high. And, oh, look what the key is, close the path to misery. So the key, does Jesus hold the keys of hell? Yeah, close that door. That's a miserable place. David's key. Oh, please come. As far as the biblical imagery for the key of David, that shows up in Isaiah also, chapter 22. And it also shows up in the Revelation, chapter 3, where it is said of the one who holds that key, again, another quote, what he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. And that's the reference to the one who's holy and true, the one seated on the throne, who, as you know, is revealed in the Revelation as Jesus the Christ, our Emmanuel, the Rod of Jesse, the bright morning star, the Key of David, and quite significantly, the Lord of Might, the Lord Almighty, Adonai, right? And this is the early antiphon version. Come, O come, Adonai, which is Lord Almighty, Lord of Might, longed for. This is stanza 2. I know I'm going through these somewhat rapidly, and you'll be singing them. But I trust you get the theme. Oh, Advent theme. That every title that's set before you in this song, every biblical picture that's pointing to the reality is showing you the Christ, the one who is anointed to save you from your sins. He's Yahweh, the Lord of Might, as we review repeatedly from the pulpit. This is a name even that was revealed to Moses in the burning bush, also at Mount Sinai when the law was given, which is what we see here in this stanza 2, in cloud and majesty and awe. That's what that stanza is reliving. It's retelling this picture, the one who has to come to set us free, even from our law breaking. There's an exclamation, there's a longing, there's a prayer, a praise to the one whose name is set before you. The same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, attributed to Jesus, the Lord of Might. And if you miss the connection at Christmas time, if you're humming along, making haste for your needful purchases, you might miss the longing. And if you don't understand the reality of it, you don't understand Christianity. You don't understand the scriptures. You won't have life. You will stay in darkness. You will stay in gloominess. You will face the wrath of law breakers. There's a lot going on in this song, in these titles. And here the key and the light of life. It needs to come to you. Oh come, Emmanuel. That is a prayer of longing. It's a song with an oration that we rattle through here. Pictures of the Lordship, the child born to save his people from their sins. And what is tragic is that people did miss this coming of the Christ. He certainly was missed in the early days. You know that. The Hebrews looked and they prayed and they still look and pray. It's really tragic. Jews are still waiting for Messiah to come and ransom captive Israel. And until he comes, there's no rejoice. There's just waiting and longing and longing. You realize that you sing this in the setting of fulfillment. You'll be singing this song with many around the globe, I dare say this very day. Yet some people will sing it because it's just been played so many times. They hum it. Now, they might even say, yeah, I'm a Christian and this is why I celebrate Christmas. And yet the rejoicing part is hitting a thud because they don't really understand the picture of this Emmanuel. Might be easier to conjure up just good feelings and goodwill and buy good things. And here comes this earnest song with a bunch of O's in it. And he's come to you. He's come to Jew. He's come to Gentile. He's come to Old Testament saints. He's come to you, New Covenant saints. And he gives you the eyes to see and to make particular connections that are needful for life everlasting, this longing that shows the lordship of Jesus. And here we end up celebrating. We're coming to our Lord in a time of worship, offering songs, recognizing and confessing that he came to us in the flesh. We offer ancient oaths. Not only in the origin and the oration with pictures and prayers, we offer them in the song and the spirit of this song, and I'm going to call this ornaments. This is sort of an application. You know what ornaments are? This is point three. Origins, orations, and now ornaments. They adorn things. That's what ornaments do. Maybe you have a Christmas tree set up. You deck them out. You can deck the halls as well. You can deck your homes and certainly the trees. You dress them up. You put ornaments on them. And ornaments, they make things ornate. Not too complicated there. They make things festive. They make things pretty. If you have an Advent tree, if you have a Christmas tree, you have a Tannenbaum, and it's in your house, you could pay $60 and put one up and just leave it as it is. That would be, I guess, festive. You don't usually have a tree in your house, at least not a dead one, and or a dying one. And then you can put lights on it, and then it's more festive, and then I will put other things on it to make it beautiful. You deck it out. You adorn it with ornaments. Now, what does that have to do with the biblical oaths of Advent here? Well, think of it this way. We have these oaths in the Advent song. They're listed for you. And they're expressing longing of the people of God, responding to his word, yes. And also, they're offering joy. Repeated in a refrain that was added later. You see it there. It's uplifting. The refrain, rejoice, rejoice. Why? Here's the gospel truth. Emmanuel will come to you. Emmanuel comes to his people. He comes to his church. He comes to the covenant people. And when he does, there's joy. It adorns you and your expressions of gratitude. It's accented by at least two of the ornaments that we'll look at in this refrain real quickly. Again, the word antiphon here, one of the ornaments is in this antiphon, would be like a stereo version of something. It's going back and forth. And here we have the two sides that are contributing to this one song. Sometimes churches, again, have two choirs. They're facing each other. It's a congregation, and you sing back and forth. Like if we were to do For the Beauty of the Earth, and the other side would say, For the Beauty of the Skies, for the, and you just go back and forth. And we're doing it together purposefully because we want to share in the rejoicing. Now, you could go home today, and this would be fine, just humming to yourself particular individual songs of festivities, adorning your car with your voice and your gratitude and your Christmas spirit. But there's something about voice upon voice, there's something about corporate worship where you effectively are encouraging one another with your words. You take these words that are set before you and you sing them not just out, but to one another. You sing them to the Lord, but also we are participating together in the adorning of the Lord. Joining in the rejoicing. Answering back and forth, response of faith, trust, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee. And the Latin is more specific, Emmanuel shall be born to thee, O Israel. We just remember that in our catechesis today too. And the eyes of faith see this, and the heart of faith sings it out of the mouth. You find this resolution, you find there's true rejoicing, even when the tune and the tone of the song is pensive, reflective, longing. There's this yearning that turns to rejoicing when you see with the eyes of faith. God is with us. So rightly we adorn our song to the Lord with these corporate assurances together, with corporate antiphons praising the Lord who's come to his people, the Lord of might, the rod of Jesse, the day spring, the key of David, and yes, the promised Emmanuel. We'll offer that song to the Lord, but first let's pray together. Lord, we do praise you, and we want to join the chorus that is sung down through the ages. And while it's true that we await a second advent and the final coming of the Lord Jesus, still, Father, we praise you that we have a song to sing now, a song that practically says, oh, finally, oh, joy, oh, good news, because of that first coming of your Son in the flesh, in the fullness of time, in the fulfillment of your word. Lord, this day receive the expressions of our joy, of our trust in you, and together as we offer now this song to our Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.